Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Guys Gabbing Gridiron. I know we're a little late. We just couldn't manage to get an episode up last week, but we're going to go through the draft this week. And once again, as always, I'm Josh McSwain here with my co-host AJ Torres. We're going to give you all our grades from the draft and just some other assorted news and notes. But let's get right into our draft grades. We're going to start with alphabetically at the top. With Arizona Cardinals, they had an interesting weekend.
Very.
Some stuff I did not expect.
Agreed. And not some stuff I essentially agree with either. So the Hopkins suspension does not affect the draft grade. The way that we constructed these grades is it goes by not just the placement and who's available, but the team needs and if they reach for those certain talents.
Yep.
So for the Arizona Cardinals, the team we're starting off with, what do you got, Tex?
I gave them a C.
Let's see if I pulled up.
My rationale behind that, I thought sending a first for Hollywood was overpaying. Agreed. Even though Brown did become more consistent last year, I still not sure that I would have been willing to send that first rounder to the Ravens. They didn't address their offensive line until the sixth round. Correct. I think my favorite pick of theirs was Cameron Thomas, defensive lineman, in round three. Chandler Jones left in free agency. I don't think Thomas is going to be a replacement exactly, but he does help fortify the depth there.
I understand that. So what I got from here is that the real notes that we kind of go here is, it's really the first round. They had one pick in the second round, and then you have the third round. They don't have anything in the fourth. They don't have anything in the fifth. And pick number 201 in the sixth round, they got between sixth and seventh round picks, there was five picks, but that's just such a flip-flop call. You basically just have to look at somebody else's opinion and say, you know what, we'll take a chance. Why not? It's just, I think that right here, they did not take offensive line seriously. That offensive line has been diminishing, and I understand because last year in the offseason, they signed two guys, in my opinion, but it's still been falling apart for the last 4 or 5 years. Why are they going to take it seriously? I don't know. And if you're Cliff Kingsbury, I understand what you're trying to do. It's just that if you go by the needs, okay? Christian Kirk got overpaid somewhere else. You need another wide receiver to make Kyler Murray happy. So you get an old teammate of his. But if you look at the wide receivers on this board, especially a lot of them went later than I expected, you're going to have that guy on the roster for two more years longer than Hollywood Brown. Let's be honest. I think that would have been a better shot. But me personally, I would have taken offensive lineman. Second round pick. Trey McBride, tremendous player. I just don't think he was in need, and that's the thing that irks me. You re-signed Zach Ertz, and I understand depth-wise and Ertz and his injury concern. You establish edge rusher, and that's it. Nothing else was established. Everything else was just let go and let's try something. You're in a win-now mode, and right now, until proven otherwise, you are last in this division. Pitiful. Me, C minus.
You know, we all know what the real motivation behind the Hollywood trade is. They're appeasing Kyler Murray so he doesn't demand a trade out of there or refuse to play.
I think he has asked for a trade. He's just trying to play hardball, except he's not going to get it.
Nope. Don't think he will.
Hell no. So, next would be
the Atlanta Falcons.
Atlanta Falcons. Now, this is a grade that, for me at least, I think this is one that anyone could. There's some people that will say, what are they thinking? And then there's some people that will say, you know what? This was phenomenal. For me, I gave him a C.
Okay. I was a little bit more forgiving. I gave him a B minus. My
Okay,
thought
so.
was, I think we both agreed that Drake London at number 8 was a reach. But
Now,
I liked them getting Desmond Ridder in round 3 and Arnold Abicatai in round 2. I thought both were pretty good picks. And obviously Atlanta's going to be in a long rebuild, so
yes.
they're thinking 2, 3 years down the road right now. So,
So the way
laying
that
the foundation, I like it.
my thought is, right, is again, this is another team where the last 2 years, the offensive line has been diminishing. Marcus
Correct.
Mariota signed for 2 years, and you hear the call, behind the draft. Arthur Blank said, "Me and my son fell in love with you against the game against Notre Dame. We never got to meet you, and I apologize, but we fell in love with you, and we want you to come to the Falcons." I think, it's the romance of football. It just is. Well, I look at here. So his weapons are going to be whatever running back they feel like, Drake London and Kyle Pitts. I think they kind of reached a little bit for wide receiver. I think they could have traded down. I don't know. I'm not gonna. I'm never going to dock somebody's grade because they didn't trade down. It's not right for me to do so. But do I think that Drake London was the best wide receiver in this draft? No, not me. And I think that's okay. Okay, you got linebacker, you got an edge rusher, but the offensive line is still diminished. No hope in the secondary, which is a big issue as well. Two big needs that were not attended to, and that's why my grade for them is so low. Has nothing to do with Desmond Ridder, has nothing to do with the quarterback pick. It's just not the best wide receiver on the board. Needs aren't met. And I think that's fair.
Okay. I think we're going to need time to really gauge this draft for the Falcons, especially. I mean, you could
I think
say
for
that with
some
every team,
teams.
but I feel like Atlanta's just so much more contingent than others. But let's move on. Let's go to Baltimore. One of my winners in this draft for sure.
A.
Oh, I agree with you on that. I think along with the Jets, they cleaned it up. I think getting a first for Brown was a steal. I thought Kyle Hamilton at 14 was great value. And then with that first that they acquired from the Cardinals, moved back a couple spots for Tyler Linderbaum, whom easily could have been picked by the Cardinals with that pick. But,
Yes.
it is what it is. I think that's a real Ravens type pick, just that angry road grading interior lineman. Just quintessential Ravens right there. They got two pretty good players on day two, guys that were talked about as end of the first round potentially. I didn't necessarily think David Ajabo or Travis Jones would be that high, but they were both good values on day two. And then Tyler Beatty in round 6, running back from Missouri, was a very good player. Versatile, catching the ball out of the backfield. I think he could make a difference, even though he'll be behind J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards next year.
Well, if you look at the amount of running back injuries that are on that team, I don't blame them for taking a running back with one of their last picks. But this is one of those drafts where I don't think we're ever going to see this again. And by that meaning, there was so much high caliber, at some point, top 10 talents just falling into their lap. Kyle Hamilton, injury concerns. I get it. Tyler Linderbaum, the best center in the nation. We've learned the past couple of years that the center position really helps establish the offensive line. So you got a great center. Got a great guy in a secondary in which they need help with because I have no idea if there's something in the water in Baltimore, but it's just been a massacre there with guys on the IR. If you just look at this draft top to bottom, if you go by needs, if you look at talent, and plus, I know this is a hometown Johnny thing for me, but Travis Jones from UConn, love it. Just top to bottom, this is just outstanding. Everything across the board, secondary, pass rush, offensive line, defensive line, secondary, a pass catcher and blocker, even a freaking punter, and even just a depth chart running back with everything there, all across the board. This is
Yep.
an A. This is the easiest grade in the draft for me. Well, maybe second, top two. Top two easiest.
Definitely. And also the stuff about centers, I'm not sure that's exactly a well-kept secret. Guys on the offensive line that are leading the charge, that are, making changes in protection as needed, those guys means so much to the team, and a lot of fans don't understand the values of centers and the calls they make at the line. But you get a great captain of your offensive line, oh boy, you're gonna be in good shape. But
Absolutely. Overlooked position, so it seems.
definitely. So let's move on to Buffalo. I gave them a B.
Same. I gave them a B.
It's tough to say because they're a team without a lot of needs. Obviously, they moved up a little bit to draft Kyir Elam. Cornerback depth was a concern for them, especially without Tre'Davious White most of last year. James Cook in the second round gave them some running back depth behind Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. They might have been able to get an upgrade on the offensive line, but they didn't. That would be my only real quibble with who they took.
Well, if I had to go and dissect this, this is one of those few teams where if you look at Buffalo, when you already have a good team, it's really hard to judge needs because it's like, okay, what needs do you really have? Okay, you got a luxury at corner for the nickel and dime defenses. Okay, fine. The pick that I didn't like was James Cook simply because you got a couple running backs that you took very early. They're still on their rookie deals and you treat them like they're disposables. It seems like, what running back is it going to be this week? We simply just don't know. It's kind of frustrating. Not even if you just play fantasy football, just in general as a fan, it's like, where is this guy? What role does he have? Like, what are you doing? That's my whole thing.
Well,
Going
Zach
across
Moss
the
has had some injury concerns so far in his career,
in
while Devin
Singletary.
Singletary seemingly took over the number one role late in the year last year. You still need some depth, so I was fine with James Cook at that pick. I think Cook will challenge for the number two role, and he'll get carries right off the bat. You also might want to save Josh Allen from carrying the ball so much.
I was heavily thinking about that as well. I mean, oof. Does he run like a gazelle? Yes. But still. As far as this draft goes, I mean, depth at wide receiver. This team, for the longest time, hasn't developed wide receivers. They've always been traded in or signed. But we'll see what Khalil Shakir has. Punter, I'm not opposed. Another deep corner, another luxury and offensive line, late just to see for depth purposes. And linebacker, they should be good and tidy. It's nothing over the top. It's nothing exciting. I'm confused about James Cook, but it's still a good draft, and that's why for me it's a B. Passing, but a B is a B.
Okay. Now, Carolina Panthers.
You go first. This one's an interesting one for me.
Okay, this one could ruffle some feathers, but I actually gave them a B.
As did I.
How about that? I mean, my rationale was, yeah, they didn't have many picks, but they arguably got the best player in the draft at number six with Ike Emekwonu. And then Matt Corral could be a player later in his career. We'll see if he can make an impact now. Getting him in the third, not bad value there. I mean, their quarterback room is a mess, so it's wide open.
Absolutely. I mean, regardless of how that quarterback room is, if you disconcern that injury, like if Matt Corral does not have that injury in the last game for his college football career, his draft stock is not the third round. It's just not.
Correct.
So with that being said, there's a former predicted first round draft pick going in 94 overall. So you get one of the three stud offensive linemen in the draft, pick number one. And everyone was concerned with what they were going to do. So my thought is if they were going to go quarterback, trade this pick down, specifically because if you look at what some teams were giving away, I mean, you know what my theory was with Kansas City. But if
Yes.
you're going offensive lineman direction, I understand why they didn't trade down when they kept put. They ain't given too much pressure. So you got your offensive lineman, you got a quarterback who kind of is solid. We're not sure how this is going to go, but we shall see because I think, regardless about the money, if you got to make the football decision, PJ Walker, Sam Corral, and Sam Darnold. As far as talent and really just proven production, all of them aren't that far off from one another. You
Right.
might see one guy start, and then you might just see him get pulled, and he might ride the bench for a month. It's going to be a packed quarterback room. They attended pass rush, they attended linebacker, they attended offensive line, and late pick Kalen Barnes from Baylor. That team could use an extra corner. Again, I just don't know how impactful this is going to be, but I can't knock it, so another B.
Sounds good.
Moving on, we go to the Bears. This is another grade that really speaks wonders to many people.
You
So
go first.
me personally, well, I was wondering what they're gonna do for day two. I mean, they attended the secondary. They have a very old prospect wide receiver, which I'm kind of lost there. They attended offensive line, pass rush, and our running back because they seem to get hurt. So I see secondary, pass rush, and offensive line. Not bad, but I don't think there's anything impactful. B minus because they actually have, I think they have some good talent. Howard Gordon, I like. Brisker from Penn State, I like it. Offensive lineman, that's a very pick and choose game, so it seems, especially with some teams. I'll get to that later. Anything to add?
No, not really. I was a little bit lower. I had a C plus just because a lot of it was just unknown to me. It's like I really don't know how they're gonna fit, how they're gonna do in this system. So
And that's
I
fair.
almost wonder if it would just be incomplete, but if I had to give them something, C plus seems fair. They might be productive down the road. I'm not sure what impact they'll make in 2022. Let's move on to Cincinnati. I had a B
Okay.
plus here.
As did I again.
Yep. So, I mean, they went big on offensive line and free agency. Therefore, they didn't really address it, and they patched up the secondary and the defensive line in the draft. I thought it was really well done. Loved the pick of Daxton Hill at 31. Great value there. Only real quibble was that they didn't get a tight end after CJ Uzomah left. Otherwise, pretty good.
The one position where I think is so hard, because if you look throughout history, where is there, I guess you can say, where's a good time or in the draft or to draft a tight end? You get what I mean?
I'm not sure that I do. Like, with any position, there's variability. You could.
Well, I'm just saying, if there's one position you don't build around,
Oh,
typically on
okay.
paper, you don't build around a tight end. Like, you don't
That's
say,
fair.
hey, our needs for the draft is tight end. Unless you're replacing Rob Gronkowski and your wide receivers suck, like the Patriots have for a couple of years, like the time Julian Edelman was hurt, of course, then that's a problem, you know?
Right.
But nothing really to add there, so I guess we move on to Cleveland.
I guess let's do that. I gave them a B.
Same, I gave him a B. So, again, for anyone who's listening, the first and second round does not exist to them. And if you
Does not.
look at what has happened there, of all the things they need secondary help, they need wide receiver help. They could use a little defensive line, I think.
Well, they got some of that with
And
Perry
yeah.
and Winfrey, and I think Isaiah Woods. But he was a late round pick. Woods was. Both guys were from Oklahoma.
Yep, Michael Woods and Isaiah Thomas. So we got corner, edge, wide receiver, interior defensive line, a kicker, a running back. Those running backs have been banged up in Cleveland, so I'm set with that, especially since he came from Cincinnati. Oh, keep him home. A wide receiver and our edge rusher and a center late. So if you look at this, it's nothing over the top. It's not like there's no steals here. But I can't knock attending the needs. I don't know where exactly you go for a kicker in the draft. I can't comment on that. I'm not sure if I could say, hey, they need to take a wide receiver earlier in the draft. We'll see.
Right. I really liked them getting David Bell. I think he's going to be maybe the number two or three receiver right off the bat, depending
Really?
on Anthony Schwartz and how he plays this year. But like you said, solid haul, hard to get a game breaker when you don't have a pick in the first two rounds. But we'll see. Potential for
Okay.
late round gems here.
So the next one, shout out to our friend and listener of the podcast, Alex. It is his Dallas Cowboys. With the first round pick, he was very disappointed with Tyler Smith. But with the Cowboys, what did you give him for a draft grade, Tex?
A C plus.
I gave him a B plus. Now, I'm actually good with this draft. So, tackle, with the offensive line problems they've had with them staying healthy, I think they need depth. So, I was perfectly okay with them picking offensive line. An edge rusher to accompany, I mean, let's just be real. This is a Micah Parsons defense now until further notice.
Correct.
Wide receiver and tight end, because listen, the wide receiver and tight end room on that team is going to be in limbo if these guys don't produce. You got one guy on a franchise tag, and the way that tight ends are going for now, I wouldn't re-sign any of them. A guy who's got one proven year is all of a sudden going to be in the market for 4 years, $50, $60 million. I'll pass up. Let me find a guy in the draft I'm going to like. Unless he's a top five in the league, I'm not re-signing him. We got more offensive line help, and then we go to all defense goes to secondary and the front seven. I like this draft. Some people don't like it. Some people want different names, but I think the end result was good. And a lot of times I say, Jerry, what are you doing? This time I say, Jerry's all right. B plus.
Okay. The Tyler Smith pick in round one, it's not that they didn't need another tackle, but I thought, particularly with Tyler Linderbaum still on the board, they should have taken him because they need help inside as well. I know Tyron Smith has injury issues. I know Lyle Collins left in free agency and tackle was a concern. Tyler Smith is a very unrefined product. I have some skepticism about where he'll line up, how he'll be developed. He could turn into a really good pick. They have a track record of developing offensive linemen well, but this one doesn't fit the mold for me.
Now,
I think there were
I
better
do agree
players
with you.
available. I'm just like, not feeling this one.
I understand by Linderbaum because, to me, in my opinion, that seemed to be a Jerry Jones kind of favorite player. As in, hey, the best center in the nation is a starter for the Dallas Cowboys? I'm thinking, oh, this is going to happen. No. Like the way that the draft was going, I'm kind of looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, this is either going to be Dean or Linderbaum. When I saw Tyler Smith, I'm just kind of like, I can't hate it, but this is kind of uneventful. But as a whole, I think they had a good draft. Anything to add from there, or are we moving on to the next one?
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, it's not a terrible haul, but I'm not sure anybody will be a difference maker immediately.
Fair enough.
All right, on to Mile High, Denver Broncos.
To me, and I understand that, first round draft picks gone. Your second round picks not until 64 overall. I mean, I just gave him a C plus just simply because I think defensively they're okay. Then you go tight end, and I'm like, okay, concerning. The secondary, I think, doesn't need help. Do they need a bunch of help on edge? You picked a wide receiver when you got a good wide receiver core as is. You've only picked one offensive lineman, and that's a fifth round. The offensive line should have made a priority, and they didn't make it. They basically just picked luxury in the depth of certain positions and places on the field. It's okay, but there's still a huge need. It doesn't matter if you have Danger Rose back there or if you had Deshaun Watson, if you made the trade for him, or Drew Lock. That offensive line is crying. Next year, they're going to
Right.
have to, and they're going to find that out quick. And with the pass rush in this division getting better, I have no faith in that Broncos offensive line against the Chargers, against the Chiefs. I don't see that happening.
Right.
I don't see them holding
That's
up.
probably not. And then you have Chandler Jones and Max Crosby coming at you in the silver and black. So,
Yes, the Raiders
yeah.
upgraded, the Chiefs upgraded, and the Chargers have one of the best duos in the NFL now.
Correct.
So with that, the biggest need was not attended, and I think they're going to have egg on their face.
Possibly.
So that's why
Nick Benito, I think, is going to be a good pick. He'll be a good third down pass rusher with Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory. Then you have Greg Dulcich, tight end from UCLA, who will replace Noah Fant, who was sent to the Seahawks in that trade. I'm like, it's okay. I'm kind of like Dallas. Not terrible, but not great.
Which is fair.
All right, moving on. Motor City.
Motor City. I gave this baby an A.
I gave him a B.
So I think at every – I just think if you look at here, right, the offensive line doesn't need attending to at the moment because I think it's undervalued. I think they need to focus a lot on defense. So I think they got the best pick in the draft in Hutchinson, and he signed very quick, which is nice. Jameson Williams, I was kind of concerned after Chark going over, but that's a good wide receiver core with those three when he gets healthy between him, Chark, and St. Brown. So we got another edge rusher to help Hutchinson. We got a safety, a tight end, depending on what's going on with hockey, linebacker, edge, and corner. I think the secondary could have done a little bit more. But I just think the true talent that they went with, I like. Needs.
Okay, I can see that. I don't know about it. I mean, I knew Hutchinson was going to go second, and I get the local flavor going on. I guess I'm just not convinced that Hutchinson's going to be a star. I think he'll be a solid player. I don't know why. I just don't get great vibes from him, but I still think it wasn't a bad pick by any means. But trading up for Jameson Williams really confused me. I mean, he should be a good player once he gets healthy, but they could have gotten a good receiver at 32. So giving the Vikings a lot more draft capital, I didn't get that one.
You know, I was wondering about people in the same division catering to each other myself, but there's some people that believe that Jameson Williams, if he was healthy, was the number one wide receiver in this draft, that he was that game changer. Yeah. Now, me personally, well, I thought Garrett Wilson was the top pick.
Me too. Wide receiver.
We both said that. But, I mean, that's us. How they rank these people, I don't know. But for everywhere else, I feel like they did tend to it. And this is a good team. They worked on the defense. The offense is going to get better. It's going to get rolling. So now the expectations for Detroit are starting to get a little higher. Isn't that weird kind of saying that?
A little bit. I still think they're at least a year away, but...
Well, not from contending, but it's like if this team gets lower than 5 wins, I think it's a very disappointing year.
Fair enough.
If they're floating around 500, I'm not astonished. If they're below 4 wins, I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's going on? What are we doing here?
Right. Okay.
Moving on is their division rival, the Packers. What you got for Wisconsin?
B.
I got A minus. Linebacker suffered. Defensive line has suffered. They got a good wide receiver, which I like. I think they could have picked a wide receiver in the first round. But they still got quality one. They still had good quality wide receivers going all the way through the first 2 rounds. They got another one in the 4th round, which is nice. They got 2 tackles, which I like it for depth purposes. Got pass rusher. Got a guy in the secondary. The positions that they needed, they attended to. Now, it all is going to depend on those wide receivers and how much you like them. But for once, really since the Matt LaFleur era, wide receiver in a draft was properly attended to.
Well, properly is the operative word here. What do you define as properly addressing it? Well, I'll agree with you that they got a
Over
lot
the
of
last 2 years,
needs. I
specifically.
did not understand Quay Walker at 23. I thought he was a second round guy. I thought it was a little too high for him. Devontae Wyatt at 28, I can get down with it. The aforementioned Christian Watson, I liked it at 34. And you mentioned Zach Tom. He could be a steal, particularly with Bakhtiari's injury problem. So there is a little bit of flexibility. It could turn out to be better than a B, could turn out to be worse.
What I actually like is that with the depth that they have in this draft, I do like Zach Tom, as you've mentioned, but the fact that they drafted, because Rashid Walker, I did like, I think he fell very low, but this team drafted three tackles for depth. So if one guy does go down, because we know Aaron Rodgers is not going to get any younger. He keeps talking about retirement, XYZ, blah, blah, blah. Whatever happens from here on there, they got depth of offensive line. They got plenty of wide receivers, just throw to one. They're trying to see, it's like, listen, dude, I know they got that old school mentality, but they're just saying, listen, injuries or not, we're going to help you try and get it done. I'm actually glad that they smartened up a little bit because before, as a football fan, it was pitiful.
Right. Okay, so shall we move on to the Texans?
Yes, I'm going to give you the floor on this one. What do you think?
I gave him a B minus. There were some things I liked, some things I did not like with it. So
Okay.
I thought picking Derek Stingley at three was not exactly the best. Thought he was the second best corner in the draft, though.
Same.
Coming from LSU, that's defensive back university, so pedigree was certainly there, but for my money, I would have taken offensive line at three, considering Ekwonu was still on the board, and then hope that you could have got Trent McDuffie at 15. Well,
Which was
they might not have
possible to
might
do.
not have traded down. They might have stayed at 13 to get McDuffie, although where did McDuffie end up going? 18th, I believe.
He went to the Chiefs.
Oh, so I was like 21, I think. Yeah, 21. Right. So still, Stingley would have been a top 10 pick, so it wasn't a major reach, but I still felt
McDuffie
like it was a
went
reach
at 21,
nonetheless.
yes.
And then I
So
thought
he's good up
Kenyon
there.
Green at 15 was a bit too high. He might be a pretty good player and maybe they're counting on Tunzel being signed to an extension, but I would have taken Ekwonu for the versatility. He could have been the replacement left tackle. He could have started at guard, maybe, but with Kenyon Green, you know he's a guard, and I think that Green will probably start immediately. I don't think the guys that Houston took in the first round are bad. I just think they could have done better.
Okay.
And I liked the second round picks of Jalen Pitre from Baylor and then John Mechie from Bama. I'm calling them wide receiver U because for a team known to be smash mouth football, they produce a lot of receivers. You notice that? You got Julio
Yes, they
Jones,
do.
you've got Jerry Jeudy, you got Calvin Ridley.
He's got a questionable ceiling, and he's coming off heavy, I think it's ACL injury, but I mean, we'll see. Alabama wide receivers usually work out.
Exactly.
My thought about the Texans is, yes, I agree, they did not get the best corner available. Offensive line moves, I would have done different. As far as wide receiver, you could argue about that, but they did get somebody in the secondary to help at least. The main thing that works for me that kind of just rubs me a little bit is there's no pass rush in this draft.
Yeah, that was a problem.
You got Christian Harris from Bama. It's a linebacker. You got Guy on the defensive line. Again, your steady defensive line picks are all late round picks that aren't developed. Your defensive line is not developed, not highly talented. And if you are having somebody, so far, unless proven otherwise, this is the one team where if it's fourth and four, you can trust calling halfback dive. You'll get it. So pass rush was not attended to, and I think that's an absolute disgrace. And I think that's the number one need on this team. Listen, I don't mind going for offensive line to help whatever quarterback is here for this year and 2023 with all the rumors circulating, but nothing for the pass rush. This is still going to be rated a top five bad Russian defense. Come on, Tex. That's killing me. Grenard can't do it all.
No, he can't.
He cannot do it all. Unless you expect to clone this man into three pieces, he needs work. And for me, that's why I gave him a C.
Well, I mean, like PFF said, they had needs everywhere. They can't address all of them in one draft.
I just think for me, if I had to establish it somewhere, offensive line and pass rush. Offensive line slightly attended to, pass rush not attended to.
Fair enough.
Moving on to their division rivals, the next two division rivals. First, we have the Colts. This was another weird one because this is another team where the biggest need was quarterback, and they didn't have the draft capital to really get one. And then Matt Ryan came to town. I think this was a Super Bowl caliber team last year if the quarterback was decent.
Right.
So we got a wide receiver. I don't get tight end because they got good tight end depth. A backup tackle in case one gets hurt. Secondary defensive line, another tight end for whatever reason, and double down on defensive line and our safety. I mean, for me, they got depth. They didn't have much. The tight end picks worry me. You don't need that much depth on tight end.
Well, maybe they're drafting him to be blockers in the run game instead of receivers in the passing game. But anyways, I give him a B. Not many picks here, but I think Alec Pierce could make a difference at receiver. And Bernard Raymond, I think, was good value in round three.
I gave him a B as well.
Right on.
All right. So this one's probably
All right.
this that not much to talk about the Colts on that one. Kind of a boring one. Boring team to talk about. The interesting one is next, the Jags.
Yes.
Success or another abomination?
I don't know if abomination is the right word here, but I
I
was
was kidding at the
unimpressed, I'll
end,
put it that way.
though. I
I
was
would not have
unimpressed
picked
at the
Walker at
end.
one.
Correct. Same.
We both thought it was going to happen, but we don't
Yeah.
think that's what we would have done. He
Agreed.
might turn out to be a good player, but I feel like his ceiling is Jadeveon Clowney level. He seems like he is a better run defender than he is pass rusher, and that's essentially what Clowney was. very good run defender, just never was an elite pass rusher. So I feel like Walker will either be that or worse. And I feel like while Clowney was a productive player, he might not, he don't think he ever really lived up to being picked number one. So Walker at one was dicey, but I liked Devin Lloyd at 27. I thought he was going to be gone by then. They traded up to get him after Miles Jack departed in free agency. Luke Fortner is going to be starting at center, replacing the retired Brandon Linder. I think Doug Peterson did a pretty good job. Obviously, he was in an awkward position with his top pick because he didn't need a quarterback. There wasn't one to be taken there anyway. He was kind of in no man's land because he didn't need the top pick, which is traditionally used on a quarterback. There was no quarterback to be traded up for at number one. So it was just like,
you're absolutely right.
We just got to make the most of this. And let's go for it.
Yeah.
B minus. I mean,
me personally, I think the safer pick is Aiden Hutchinson. But if you go by the system, you know, it's like, hey, he's a guy that went to Michigan, staying in Michigan. That's just the luck of the draw. I mean, for me, I gave him a C mostly because of the Walker reach, the Lloyd pick I like. The running back pick in the fifth round, again, why are we doing this? And we'll see what happens with the late round corners.
Right. All right, now for your Chiefs. Go for it.
I gave it an A. Now, I didn't give out any A pluses. There's some A minus. There's I didn't give any A plus because there's no perfect draft. So me, I was wondering what they're going to do. My thought was trade up to get one of those wide receivers, but that didn't happen. So we got plenty of secondary depth. We got pass rush. I like George Karlaftis. I think he really fell in the draft. I didn't think he would be towards the end of the first round. I thought he would have been taken somewhere in the top 15. Sky Moore, you know, I was worried about them trading back. I really was. But if that is the pick that you like for your system, I can't knock it. Safety help, which was needed. Linebacker help needed. Spare tackle. Again, the running back move for seventh round. I don't get what my team's doing with the rush offense for the last 2-3 years. But, okay. If you look at the power moves they made and establishing needs, as a fan, I'm very happy. I'm very pleased. It, in my mind, it borderline couldn't be any better.
Yeah, I thought it went well, too. I gave him an A minus. Two good first-round picks. Thought Sky Moore was a good value in round two. Very little to quibble with on that. One of the winners in the draft, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. If you go by the winners, this was one of the top four winners.
Top four, you say? I had, I think, six teams that I gave an A grade to. We'll get to some of them shortly, but we'll now go to a team I didn't give an A grade to, which is the Raiders.
I had six teams I give A's to. My apologies. I had six A's. So the Raiders, listen, I don't want to sound like a homer, but and now mind you, unlike some people, how they do their grades, if you trade away your first and second round pick, this does not count against it. I am going for what do you have for these picks and what do you use them on? Okay, we got the Raiders. You know, the silver and black that, you know, the fans dress up like it's Halloween beach or up in the parking lot. And that explains on what they drafted. Two guards, I'm fine with. Two running backs, why? Two defensive linemen, I don't get why. Confusing to me. Just as far as needs, I just don't get it. I don't.
Right. Well, their run defense was a bit of an Achilles heel last year, so going for those defensive linemen makes some sense to me. It's just like you said, there's not a lot to choose from. I don't know if some of their OL picks could crack the starting lineup. I'm just nothing in this draft really caught my eye. I gave them a C minus.
All right. And over to the LA teams. I gave the Chargers a B plus.
I gave him a B.
I mean, extra offensive line for Justin Herbert with the pass rush coming in this league, in this division. Great. Very great. Let's see. Extra safety depth, a running back that will really help solidify and give Austin everything some time. Make sure you're not too dependent on him because he is small in size. Defensive line, another backup tackle, secondary help, and a fullback to help this Russian offense. Let's hope how the fullback goes. I think that system, because the fullback is a lost art in the NFL, let's be honest.
That
We'll
it
see if
is.
those formations will help not only block Justin Herbert, but help the run game. I don't think there's those wow factors for certain spots, but the positions attended to and the direction they're going in, this is great. B plus.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. They continued to get more protection for Justin Herbert. At 17, the guard from Boston College, I just hear Zion and I think Zion Williamson, but I was like, nope, he's the basketball player. He might be able to play offensive tackle the way he looks right now, but regardless, it was Zion Johnson. Liked it. The only major quibble that I had with them was that they might have addressed defensive line earlier than round five. But otherwise, not bad. Isaiah Spiller in round four, running back, takes some of the pressure off of Austin Ekeler. So not a bad haul.
I agree. And again, defensive line with two of some of the best pass rushers in the game teaming up against each other. Can't complain taking them in the fifth round. At least my theory.
It's a good one for my money. All right, move across to the
The
other
other
locker
side of the
room and the
stadium.
Super Bowl champion Rams. Do they have any picks at all? I don't remember.
More than we think. First, let's see, 104, 142, 164, the rest in the 200s. Tackle, corner, running back, safety, corner, edge, safety, tackle. So, well, they got tackles to replace the guy who just retired. God bless him. Spare secondary help, you could never have too much of that. Running back, I don't know. We'll see. That depends. If Cam Akers is going to fumble Ruski again in a key game, then he'll be put out and Kyren Williams will be put in. I'm gonna give them let's see. I gave the Rams a C minus.
Yeah,
The
it
running
seems
back pick a
fair.
little confusing. Offensively, it's because they got Allen Robinson on such a good deal because he tanked his value. You can't say much about them not drafting a wide receiver with their first pick in the third round. Offensive line, they intended to just in case they need another piece or so.
They
I think
will.
they got value for what it was worth. But again, just nothing special. And that's okay.
Right. Your grade seems good. Logan Bruss, I think he'll fill in fairly quickly. Andrew Whitworth and Havenstein are both getting up there in age. Bruss can also play guard instead of tackle, so he might end up being a solid player there. But yeah, so many day three picks. They're just not going to have much wow factor on this one.
Okay, so here's what you have here. Let's go to South Beach. If we go to Miami, they only had four picks: 102, 125, 224, and 247.
Correct.
So if we're going by the seventh round picks, you could never really go too much. Like, why they picked a quarterback, I'm not going to say why, but I just think if I had to think of what positions they could use these two picks on, I didn't think wide receiver was one of them, because I think the wide receiver and tight end combo that they have on the depth chart does suffice. So I just think that the wide receiver pick is asinine, and the defense really has saved Tua and company the last couple of years. I didn't think linebacker would fit the bill. I think it's I still think they need one more key piece on offensive line you could have found in the draft. Unfortunately, I gave the Miami Dolphins a D.
I gave them a C minus here. They literally had four picks, but I think Channing Tindall could end up being a really good player. He's another guy from that Georgia defense. He's incredibly fast, hard-hitting guy. I don't know if the other three guys they took make the team, but I think Tindall will be a difference maker. Unfortunately, it's the only guy I have any confidence in. All right, moving up north, Minnesota Vikings.
Minnesota, I grabbed them a B plus. The secondary that's been in shambles is attended to.
Yes.
They got a guard, which they really helped. They needed
Yep.
they really need an interior lineman. And all of it was just trying to restructure defense. The offense seems to be okay. They got just depth pieces on the offensive line. Basically, just low depth chart, wide receiver, and tight end at the end. But the secondary was the bread and butter that was really causing most of their problems. It was attended to. So that is why I give them a B plus.
Yeah, I gave him a B, much for the same reasons. Lewis Cine at the end of round one, I was like, eh, I don't know if that's a little high, but still it addressed a need. Andrew Booth at 42 was really good. Ed Ingram, the guard at 59, was really good. So yeah, it's very hard to argue with a lot of it. Well, this has the potential to maybe be better than what I think right now.
I mean, B plus, there's not much to go up from there. If it
It's
goes up
true.
more, then it's just going to be untouchable.
Correct.
But going for the Patriots, this one was an easy D for me.
Agreed.
So, ironically, the reason why I gave them a D is not because of their first round pick.
Okay.
You see, my thought is if you look at the Patriots and if you look at every single offensive lineman for the most part that Bill Belichick has picked and trained, they have done pretty well. It's when they get out of that system and go somewhere else after they get paid, they diminish. Outside of Tooney from the Chiefs, I haven't heard any complaints. He's not that Pro Bowler anymore, I don't think, but it's something. Wide receiver, Tyquan Thornton at 50. As far as picking the wide receivers, I don't really know what you can do from there. It's kind of a crapshoot. Secondary was attended to, but okay, here's my trouble here. Why two running backs when Bill Belichick seems to find running backs off waiver wires and from parking lots and turns them into scoring stars for the week? Very surprising to me. A quarterback, but yet the best quarterback that was left on the board was Sam Howell, not taken. I think that was a waste of a pick. And the one position in need, linebacker, not attended to. It's hard to knock Bill the genius for his resume and what he does, But for me, this is a D. Now, I'm not going to knock the genius, but I think we have to be very critical of him.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt.
First round pick. Everyone keeps knocking that. But I'm like, listen, this guy is 6'5", in big shape. If Bill Belichick says he likes a lineman, most likely it's a good decision. It's everything else that, to me, makes no sense. No linebacker, a quarterback, two running backs. What are we doing?
Right. He's also really good with developing defensive backs, but I still thought Cole Strange was a reach.
No doubt.
They also probably could have used receiver help earlier, but they would have ruined whoever it was anyway. They could have picked 21-year-old Jerry Rice in the first round. They still would have screwed him up somehow.
It seems that way, yes.
My most interesting selection in this draft was round 6, number 200, Sam Roberts, edge from Northwest Missouri State. They're a Division II program, D2 powerhouse down in Maryville, Missouri. Really interesting, a small school guy like that getting picked over LSU and Michigan guys later, but I'm like, if Belichick sees something in an edge rusher guy, I'm interested to see where it goes.
I am as well. I think that's very fair to say. But, I mean, we won't have a scouting report on him probably until later. I mean, but again, it's always very interesting to see where he picks. I guess moving on from here, after the Patriots, it starts to get interesting. The Saints, only 5 picks in the draft.
Correct. I really like Trevor Penning. Yeah, I gave him a B. Trevor Penning at 19, really good. He'll fill in for Teron Armstead pretty nicely. I'm not sure why they felt the need to jump up to get Chris Olave. It's not that Olave isn't a good player. It's just they could have stayed where they were and gotten a receiver.
We knew that there was going to be a wide receiver hump at some point. I think they just wanted to solidify and get the comfort of just saying, you know what, on paper, this is the – and some people think that this was the top – this is the third best wide receiver. Depending on where you rank him. The Jameson Williams, I'm not sure where you rank him with his injury. But if you go by top four, Olave's in there. I'm not sure how you rank the four between Williams, London, Olave, and Wilson. But those are the top four in the draft. At least the way I put them. So they got the comfort and they selected him. Not bad. Trevor Penning at offensive tackle as one departs. Okay, no problem. Corner, linebacker, defensive line. I can't hate it. Any ideas, Tex?
Well, yeah. I mean, B, I think solid but not spectacular.
That's fair. Very fair to assess. So we go on to the next team?
Yeah, let's move on.
All right, the New York Football Giants, which it's very ironic because Jerry Jones, from his list, thinks that the Giants got the best two players talent-wise in the draft.
Okay, that is pretty funny.
Yes, I think he had Thibodeau at 1 and Neal at 2. The Giants got both of them.
Yep. I think it's funny we had those two guys go into the Giants, but we had them in the wrong order.
Yes.
So, I mean, them sitting there at number 5, they really wanted Thibodeau. They would be thinking, well, we know that one of the two offensive linemen is going to be there at 7 when we pick, so let's get Thibodeau now. And then, you know, we can just take whichever tackle is left. And so, I think obviously, Evan Neal was maybe the third or fourth best player in the draft. Getting him at 7 is good. They also did a good job in round 3 with Joshua Ezeudu, guard from North Carolina. It's Brian Daboll's really trying to build out from the interior. Also got DJ Davidson, defensive lineman in the fifth round. Another guard in the fifth round. He's pretty serious on shaping up that front line. But the selection that's really going to make or break them is Wandale Robinson in round two. Some people think that was an absolute reach. I'm thinking he was a playmaker in the SEC. I think he'll make somewhat of an impact.
I think the one position not of need unless they're trading Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, he did seem very similar to Kadarius Toney, which makes it curious. Who knows?
About the tight end pick, Darian Beavers, I think, was going to be in the third or fourth round, taking sixth round. That's a steal. If they pick something else outside of wide receiver in the second round, I would make this an A for them.
I had A minus.
I had B. So do we go across the same locker room to the next team?
Let's do it.
The Jets, I give an A.
Well, I had A plus. I was like, I know your philosophy is that no draft is perfect. I'm like, they couldn't have done any better than this. I felt like, obviously, they cleaned up in round one, getting Sauce Gardner, either the first or second best player in the draft, then Garrett Wilson at 10, then Jermaine Johnson at 26, who I thought would be really, really higher than this. Steal at 26, and then Breece Hall in round two. Another good player. It's going to be productive for him.
I think the best running back in the class, personally.
Yep, agreed.
I mean, for me, this was a no-brainer in A. Just every need attended to. The offense has got a complete facelift. This is going to be great. So do we move a little south to Philly?
Yeah, let's do it. I gave them an A, too.
I gave them a B+.
All right, let's talk about it. So Jordan Davis, obviously another player from that Georgia defense, going to clog up running lanes and allow N'Kobe Dean, a third-round steal, to run free. Obviously, turning one of their firsts into A.J. Brown was really a big deal. This team made some moves, and they're going to be a contender to go a long way next year.
I mean, for me, they got a solid number one wide receiver. I mean, they had a whole bunch of guys who were putting up, and this was a very gritty, and this team just had a lot of fight and heart in them. But the fact that you got A.J. Brown to solidify, that's great. So now with the draft, they got a center that's going to replace Jason Kelsey in a year. They got defense attended to. This is great. B+.
Right.
So do we go to the other side of the state and go to Steel City?
Let's do it.
For me, this is another A.
I had him at a B+.
Two wide receivers, an edge to help out TJ, a quarterback, a tight end and brother of one of the players on the team, and an extra linebacker. We'll see how Kenny Pickett does. But I think two good wide receivers, some edge help. The tight end position has lacked, I think. So depending on how he produces... We'll see. But I think quarterbacks always jump grades.
Okay.
Outside of one draft I haven't referred to yet, but we'll later on. Any thoughts, or is this just kind of like a blah one, or just kind of self-explanatory?
I had B+. I mean, obviously you get a local guy at quarterback with Kenny Pickett. DeMarvin Leal, I think, is potentially a diamond in the rough. He was considered a lot higher, but he kind of dropped off a little bit this season. It's just, they got to find a position for him. But he could be a steal in the third round, potentially.
All right. We'll see how this one goes. So I guess now we go down to San Fran. This is another hard team to grade.
Right.
Especially with everything going on. We have no idea what's going on with the quarterback. No idea what's going on with Debo. Running back seem to be disposable for them. So what we have here is another edge rusher. They seem to produce a lot of good ones, so okay. Running back, I'm not too sure. Wide receiver, again, we're not sure about the whole Debo debacle, but they could have traded him at the draft. That would have been the best thing for them to do, especially since they don't have a first-round pick. Debo, I think, could have easily been a first, second, and a third and fourth for the following year. If you want, depending on how you format it, I think he was a first round plus easily. But we got edge, halfback, wide receiver, tackle, corner, tackle, interior line, corner, and hell with it, a quarterback, Brock Purdy. Good name, but I'm not sure how long he's going to be around for.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, with a pick that late, 262.
When
I see quarterback, I'm not going to knock it. He might be folding towels for all I know. It's like, hey, he's a clean-cut guy. Okay, sign him. $10,000 and tips when he puts bleach in the washer, boys.
Right.
Realistically, the way I graded this, it was just B. Just depth all around.
Yeah, nothing pretty bad, much.
Nothing reached. Nothing.
Yeah. B or B minus. Drake Jackson probably will end up being their most impactful pick alongside Nick Bosa. Danny Gray, I mean, the 411 on him is that he's incredibly fast, but doesn't have great hands. So we'll see. Maybe he was in mind as someone who could take the place of Debo if a trade came together. A decent third round risk. I mean, B minus for me, a lot of meat and potatoes, guys.
Okay. So I guess the next one, this is going to upset a lot of people, especially since I know a good amount of Seahawks fans. What'd you give the Hawk's Nest?
A B minus.
You know, this is going to sound very shocking. This might be called a hot take. I give him a D.
Okay.
We got Charles Cross. Okay. You could have picked quarterback. You didn't reach for one. You could have traded down for it. But oh well. But what else do you got here? Edge rusher. We'll see how that plays out. Running back. I'm sorry. We need running back four when your offensive line is in shambles and the top five worst in the NFL. Okay. Tackle no one's heard about. Okay. From Washington. Whatever. Two corners when you just signed both two corners you had to three-year deals. For what? What, two of them are going to play nickel and just flip-flop each other? Another edge rusher we never heard of. Wide receiver when you got other positions to tend to. And a tight end. So it's let's BS weapons for Drew Lock to give him false hope. And one tackle out of the draft. You nailed the first-round pick and everything else for what you needed was just not addressed. It just beat the dead horse and just had flashy picks to give your fans hope to buy season tickets. Did not like this draft. After pick number 9, I said, okay, fine. Let's see what happens. But when I saw edge rusher, I'm like, okay. But when I saw running back, I'm like, ah, crap, here we go. Some people were pleased, but for me, no, I'm not. If you didn't extend your corners and you want these guys to go help with the rebuild? No. You are in salary cap hell, dumped your quarterback, signed both corners to three-year deals for decent money. So what's going on at the salary cap room? Is DK Metcalf going to get paid? Is Lockett going to get paid? Are those two going to be traded off next year before it's a full-on tank job? I just don't get the direction they're going to, and it screams Houston Texans to me.
Okay, I mean, I can see that, but I think Ken Walker in round two is a good playmaker, and then Kobe Bryant was a good corner alongside Sauce at Cincinnati. Getting him in round four, I thought, was pretty good value. So, I mean, it's...
I understand.
I think it's the value is there, needs. But, I mean, the needs are a little wonky. So, I mean, I get met. It.
Needs are not met.
But, I mean, they're going to need everywhere before long. So, that's why I won't squabble with it too much.
To make anyone feel better, I can move it to a C-, but that's the highest I can go.
Suit yourself.
I mean, that's a very personal one, but it's just I've been following the team and what this team could be, and I'm just trying to figure out what they're trying to do. And in this rebuild, nothing just seems to be making sense to me.
Yeah, okay.
So moving on.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, I gave a B.
I did too.
We got the line attended early on. I think he's a stud. We got a good tackle because he did need offensive line help. A running back with one guy, their RB2, going in free agency. A tight end. I mean, they are having one or two going to be taken off. Kicker, you can never hurt. And that's just overall depth. A team that was basically damn near perfect, but they lost to Super Bowl champs, so you can't knock them. So this is essentially the same thing as the Rams. More depth, can't knock it, nothing special, it gets a B.
I thought the same thing. A lot of meat and potatoes, guys, going on here. Logan Hall seems like a good project player to have. I know they drafted Joe Tryon, pass rusher, at 32 in last year's draft. They're obviously planning for whenever Jason Pierre-Paul can't play anymore. Mm-hmm. And then they get Luke Godeek. Could start on the offensive line immediately. But the rest of the guys, yeah, they're just kind of depth there. I mean, nothing to dislike. Another team that doesn't have a lot of needs. So they kind of played it conservative. And I think it'll suit them well.
Okay. So, I guess we go on to the Titans. And this one is another – this one's a very tricky one to me.
Correct.
So, I gave them a B. And with that B, I think it's interesting because this is kind of like a half-ass in, half-ass out. It's like they're in limbo of, are we still competing and trying to get to that Super Bowl window? Or are we okay enough where if we got to go, you know, basically if Derrick Henry, you know, gets hurt or Ryan Tannehill leaves, are they going to be okay? So they traded A.J. Brown because he seemed to want out. And they get Treylon Burks, a guy with a similar style. Okay. Now, I didn't think A.J. Brown was going to get the money that he deserved, and I think he needed to stay a little bit more healthy. But to say the least, corner, tackle, need a little help on the offensive line. Malik Willis, which many people rated the second best quarterback in this draft.
Yep.
Some people, they say number one or two. But he fell all the way to 86 overall, not knocking it. Hassan Haskins, that was a good running back duo in Michigan. It was amazing how he fell that low. Some people predicted him to go lower. Tight end, okay, another wide receiver, and some extra stuff on the defense. So this is going to be, I want to say, a year where they're going to have to figure out where they want to go. The
Right.
last guaranteed dollars on Ryan Tannehill's contract after this, nothing's guaranteed. And Malik Willis, I think they're going to need to do some mechanical adjustments. And by mechanical adjustments, I mean they're going to have to really fine-tune and tweak his style of play. I'm thinking could be dumbed down, watered down Josh Allen if he reaches his ceiling.
Okay.
The floor, probably in the lines of Taylor Heineke.
Okay.
That's a lot of room, but I mean, I could see both sides of the coin. I see the good and the bad and the pain.
Right.
Anything else with the Tennessee?
Well, I actually gave him an A minus. I thought it was great getting Malik Willis in round three when they didn't have to start him immediately. And then Burks, obviously, direct replacement. McCreary, and I really like Hassan Haskins too. He'll take some of the pressure off of Derrick Henry because we don't know how much he has left at all.
Correct. Another year older for a running back, regardless how generational. Running backs wear down. We'll see. And he did get
Do.
hurt last year. Let's keep that in mind.
Okay, our last one, Washington.
Let's see. Going through my notes, going through the board. I gave this one also a D.
That's interesting. I gave him a B.
So my thought is, right, there's nothing going on with Terry McLaurin at the moment. I think they're going to have to pay him. Okay. So here's what comes down to my end if you go outside the wide receiver. Okay. I think they're okay at wide receiver and they've drafted a few and not used them. Plus, do I think that Dotson was the best wide receiver at the time? The wide receiver chain of events that happened, it's weird because after the top four, I guess it really goes by how you rank them. But even if you go past the wide receiver depth, like let's say I made this a C minus and you're like, I still think that's too low. Interior defensive line. That's one of the best defensive lines when they're healthy. Why? Not a need. Running back, not a need. They have plenty. They rotate through all of them. Antonio Gibson being the run at the helm, and they kept guys in free agency to be in those run back rotations. Why this guy? I don't know. Safety, fine. Sam Howell, I am concerned about what they're going to do, especially since there is going to be a time soon where the Riverboat Ron era is going to be in question. He needs to start winning games. Tight end, they've had a tight end rotation, a big depth chart of them for a while now. I don't get it. Chris Paul from Tesla, I'm fine with. And 240 for a corner. I think they could have picked up another one early. The needs that they addressed were safety and quarterback depth, but they did not develop Heineke well. We'll see how he does, but right now I'm thinking the experiment's run its course. I'm not sure how Sam Howell's going to do. The ceiling seems pretty low. And Carson, oh man, Carson Wentz. Mr. Can't be dependable. Can't be dependable. It's a head scratcher. We'll
Right.
see how this goes, but I just outside Percy Butler needs weren't met.
Yeah, the reason I would had a more favorable opinion of this draft was While Jahan Dotson at 16 might have been somewhat of a reach, the run on receivers was happening, and you kind of had to go get one. I like Brian Robinson at running back, with Antonio Gibson being hurt a lot last year. To have more depth is a good idea. And then obviously Frady and Mathis in the second round. Like you said, they've invested a lot into that D-line, but it's a very Ron Rivera type pick to continue bolstering that unit. And then Sam Howell in round five, I don't know what to expect. I thought he would go quite a bit higher, so maybe he'll have some quality depth. We're just going to have to see what this team. I think they got a lot of solid guys, but yeah, how well they address what the team needs is a little debatable.
I agree.
So I want to address one other thing before we go out. After Malik Willis was picked, Ryan Tannehill said something to the effect of, "It's not my job to teach the guy," and people got up in arms about it. I'm just like, this type of thing's been done before. We've had other veteran quarterbacks say it's not their job to do it. I think Brett Favre did the same thing. They need to rethink their tactics. I'm thinking they should probably say something like, you know, "My first priority is to be this team's starting quarterback. That's where I'm focusing my energy. I will help train the young quarterback whenever the situation calls for it. Teach them what I know, but that's also why we have coaches. Coaches coach, players play. I'm a player. I'm focused on playing." Done.
Well, I also just don't think that it's healthy to have that kind of hazing going on either.
Definitely not.
Like, I mean, it's different in the football locker room, but it's in a different part where, like, some guys where it's like, J.J. Watt is like, "Hey, to all my Steeler players that I've met, haze my brother in the locker room. It will strengthen him. You're going to want this." That's different than just saying, "Oh, yeah, by the way, under center, this guy's not welcome."
Right. And then one other note, your Chiefs got Justin Ross, the receiver from Clemson, as an undrafted free agent. Probably the most notable name. Obviously, his injury history is a little concerning, but he could potentially be a steal as that long-range, stretch-the-field guy for Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, Clemson has good wide receivers just like Alabama, so, I mean, I'm all for it. If we could potentially have another Sammy Watkins type of player where, as in, hey, we're not dependent on him every single game, but when he shows up, he could really help us out, even if it's just with route run to distract the safety. I'm in open arms about it. And even the dog agrees, apparently.
There we go. All right, well, this has gone on for quite a while. I think we've gone over everything pretty much in depth. Any final thoughts?
I think this was a very good draft. Even the ones where I think they had good grades, good or bad grades, I still don't think it will help the team there. Too early to tell what's going to go on now. Anything could happen. It's football. Well, I'm really excited to see what's going to go on with the rest of free agency. Sign-ins like Tyrann Mathieu, the Hunting Badger, going to the Saints, basically going home to New Orleans. I think there's much left unturned. Bradberry just got released to save half the salary from the Giants. That's going to be a huge move to somebody. Dog agrees as well. And I just think that there's going to be some hidden sign-ins where you're just going to look where it's going to be like, oh, no, I do not like this. Anything to touch up on?
Nope, that wraps it up for me. So,
all right.
Thank you all for listening. And on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. We'll see you next time.